guten Morgen jeden Morgen? Selbstverständlich. Immer einen Parkplatz finden? Selbstverständlich. Nachrichten um 8? Selbstverständlich. Immer eine günstige Tankstelle finden? Selbstverständlich. Gürkchen auf dem Burger? Selbstverständlich. Einfach um den Stau herumfahren? Selbstverständlich.
Das neue Selbstverständlich. Skoda Connect. Infocall, Parkplatzsuche und viele weitere Online-Funktionen. Jetzt selbstverständlich. Mehr auf skoda.de oder bei Ihrem Skoda-Partner.
Skoda. Simply clever.
What's up, fool? Podcast with Felipe Esparza.
And Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man. What's up, everybody? We're back with a new guest that'll be here later. Our guests are coming up. He's an entertainment lawyer, Jeff Cohen. But a lot of you guys might know him from other stuff. But we'll get to that later when he gets here. Also, man, we have a couple of shout-outs this week already. So soon. Moises Licea. And his daughter, Amelia. Moises couldn't make it to the San Jose show last week, even though he had tickets, because he was on house arrest. Here's his email. Hey, what's up, fool? It's me, Moises, from Novato, California. You gave me and Mando a shout-out from San Francisco on the call-in show, episode 106. Anyway, long story short. I had bought tickets for your show tonight at 10 p.m. I was going to go. Unfortunately, I got into some pedo, which means he got into some shit, which prevents me from being able to come tonight. I really want to go. I almost cried. Ha, 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 ha. I tried everything to go, but my stupid case manager didn't get back to me, that fucking cocksucker. Well, anyways, today is going to fucking suck. Tonight is your show, and I'm going to be crying looking at my ticket. But I refuse to return it and get my refund because I support your show and podcasts. My spirit will be there. Ha ha. I'm a big-ass fan of you, fool. I listen to all the episodes of What's Up, Fool podcast, Enchilada podcast, and Yeah Man podcast. Good luck with your show tonight. You're going to kill it tonight like a savage that you are, like a doctor. Ha, ha, ha. If there is 2 empty seats at your show, it's because of me. Ha, ha, ha. I was really looking forward to your 1-hour special, but stupid ankle bracelet prevents me from going tonight. Well, peace out, Felipe. Kill it tonight, you big vegan beaner. Hopefully when you come to SAC in December, I'm able to go with no problem. Can you give me and my daughter Amelia a shout out from Novato, California, a little town up north from San Francisco? Thanks, Felipe. Peace out, vegan beaner. So shout out to Moises and Licea and his daughter, bro. If you guys don't know what a case manager is, it's the guy who's like a parole officer, a probation officer. And that's for the ankle bracelet. That sucks when you have an ankle bracelet, bro. You can't take your kids out to look for Pokemon Go's.
Gotta look for them in the house, dog.
That was a nice email.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. That was a soldier, dog.
Gabe and Lisa Jimenez, who came out to see the filming, too. They both listened to the What's Up Food and Enchilada Casserole and gave us some good iTunes reviews. Rudy Vega, who listens to What's Up Food and Enchilada Casserole and came out with his wife and brought some friends to the filming of the special so he could introduce them to my comedy. Thanks for spreading the word, bro. Also, Derek Cypher and Ari Cypher, they came to the show. They drove all the way. Also, Pastor Toon and Sammy Solario, big fans from Reno, Nevada. They came out. Bro, sorry we couldn't take a photo. Pastoon, but you know how busy it was. Pastor Toon, Eric, and I hit you guys up. What did you guys do after you guys went to go order some expensive ass room service. You guys must have been stoned, bro. You and Sammy to order room service when you couldn't walk. Well, actually, if you don't know the neighborhood, we walked to a burrito stand that was packed, La Victoria, and we had some bean and cheese burritos.
And a vegetarian
one. I ate good over there.
Hell yeah.
I ate good.
Lee sandwich.
And I didn't gain no weight because I was walking like 12,000 steps every night. But Lisa did 20,000 just going up and down the improv. Brea, California.
Sure, it's crazy.
That's this week, September 1 through the 4th. If you're listening right now and you're telling yourself, hey, I'm gonna go to the Friday show, try to get tickets. I'm going to tell you right now, don't even try. Forget about it. It ain't going to happen. All six shows are sold out. All six shows are sold out. And they added two more shows. Saturday, 11 o'clock, and Sunday, 9 o'clock. Also, if you want to know what comedians are going to be there, it's going to be Rodrigo Torres hosting.
Yeah, man.
And Thursday night will be Cookie.
Hell yeah, fool. What's up, y'all?
And Sunday. Also, Friday and Saturday, Gene Pompa.
Hey, little bear.
So, no, Dustin won't be there. Dustin will be there on Sunday. If you want to see Dustin Ibarra. He'll be showing up with his long hair and blue eyes on Sunday. Also, Naples, Florida, September 8th through the 10th. The gig that we could cancel. Nah, we ain't going to cancel. Naples, Florida, September 8th through the 10th at Off the Hook Comedy Club. Hit us up for some free tickets to these Naples, Florida shows.
Go peace.
We have free ones left for our listeners. Email us at fans@felipeworld.com to request them. Oxnard, California, the home of the Dallas Cowboys, September 15th through the 18th at Liberty Live Oxnard. I know you guys are saying, wait a minute, the Dallas Cowboys playing in Dallas. What's wrong with you? Why do you say Oxnard? Yeah, but their training camp is in Oxnard. And that's the only time Oxnardians get to see live football.
Oxnardians. I think you coined the term, fool.
Yeah. So are you Oxnardians, the Nardians? You're the Nards. The Nardogs. That should be the new word for everybody from Oxnard. Nardog. Are you a Noxardian, bro? Not for white people. I'm a Nardog. September 15th to the 18th at Liberty Live in Oxnard. Also, Boston, Rhode Island, we need your help. If anybody is willing to drive 2 hours to these shows, I'll hook you up. Rhode Island and Boston, September 22nd and 23rd. All shows info can be found on felipesworld.com/tour. Also, that's it for now. We're going to talk about things that went down in San Jose. First of all, I shot the one-hour special produced by Lisa O'Daniel Esparza and Felipe Esparza. Actually, this is a DIY for your ass. It was do it yourself. It was a big production, man. We did it ourselves. We paid for this special with the money we're making at the San Jose Improv and the money we're making for the next 10 shows. Actually, so we need to pack these shows in Boston to pay for our special. So
you guys have three production trucks? Yeah, man.
We had three production trucks, two generators. 10 bikes, 10 packages of bottled water. Nah.
The backdrop too, fool?
The backdrop was amazing. The backdrop put together by Lisa was all the photos of me when I was a child and my mom's photo. We had our passports with my mom and my brother and my other brother and my other brother. We had a group passport, bro. So whenever we all had to travel, we had to travel together.
With that little fool on the side that looked all maldito?
Yeah. The group photo.
That's tight.
We drove to San Jose with the rabbit and Rodrigo Torres. Slippers kicked on the floor. I drove a minivan for more than 3 hours. The record right there.
Six, dude.
And we stopped and we ate. We ate some good food at Ike's Sandwiches.
Really good. Really delicious.
But we discovered a new sandwich place. Lee's Sandwiches It's like a Vietnamese French sandwich place. It's bomb, man, in San Jose on Santa Clara Street. It's a chain. I think this restaurant, Lee's, they introduced banh mi sandwiches to California.
Yeah, I think as far as the fast food style goes.
1963. And they were delicious, man.
There's one on Valley right there in Alhambra.
Should have brought us some, bro.
Tomorrow, dog.
Bring us some, please. Also, I was very nervous about the, I was kind of nervous about the special. Luckily, I didn't bust out a hemorrhoid. Thinking about it.
And like what, just for everything to get done or what?
No, getting all the jokes in.
Okay, to make sure you covered all the material that we can edit properly.
Because we had enough money to tape every show, but only for 70 minutes. 75 minutes. That was the allotted time we had. So we kept going over the jokes, Lisa and I, and we had to pay overtime for crew, and we don't want to do that. And so we're going over the jokes over and over and over and over on Friday when I did two shows, and then I forgot some jokes. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up forgetting one joke, but it's so good. It'll still work out great. It was good, man, to finally put it out there, and it was very personal, one-hour special, and I got sentimental at the end, but it was all good.
That was cool, dude.
And the people showed up. That was the best part. They were excited, and also we hired this biker shop. This biker shop, the what? It's called the Others Bike Shop, the Others Bike Club, and then a bunch of, they're not bikers like one percenters or like motorcycles. These guys fix up bikes, and they fix them up really nice, like. Bicycles, bro, like bicycle.
Beach cruisers and shit.
Beach cruiser, man. So I was riding a low rider, bro. It was awesome, man. Very excited about that. So what's up, bro? What you think about the whole thing?
It was fucking crazy. I mean, you were on stage during your show. I mean, dick, they came for you, but the fucking energy in that fucking house was fucking to the next level, dog. Fucking people were excited, too. I think that they're going to be in a live recording, you know?
They were excited, man.
And
they were screaming.
That you brought in, you went to do it in San Jose too, dog. You know what I mean?
I think they liked that they got to be in it and not knowing that they were in it, huh?
Yeah, hell yeah. And I think some people got tickets not knowing that the special was going to be filmed. And then there was the people that were prepared, made a whole weekend out of it, that knew they were going to be in the special.
The people who didn't know about the special being filmed, they were excited too.
Oh, man. Yeah, because they started finding out as soon as they're walking in because they seen the little letters that said, you know, no pictures and all that bullshit. And they're all, oh, what's going on here? Oh, my God. And fucking triple excited.
Then they saw the camera crane.
Oh, yeah, dude.
That
it
was
gets fucking,
people excited.
It was serious. It was for real, dog. There ain't nobody right there in the corner with a fucking camcorder, dog. Lights, camera, action, bro. You know what I'm saying?
I was kind of nervous about the filming, you know. But then when I saw one of the sound guys watching the show drinking a beer, I said, all right, he's getting into it.
Yeah, dude. And then fucking you look good. The fucking coat you picked, your shoes, your little outfit. It was cool, dog. Everything fucking... And the kind of the backdrop and the color that he had, that little rustic yellow that he had from before, he kind of brought it back. You know, course it's different, but it was fucking cool, dog. It was pretty fucking short, nothing short of amazing, fool.
It was awesome.
Yeah, dude, it was fucking killer, dog. It was fucking sweet.
And then after the taping and all that, man, I was so tired, man. I was burned out, but then I felt cool, man, on Sunday because I could say whatever I want now. I don't have to stick to the new material that I've been working on for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. So it felt good, man, on Sunday to just be free.
Let loose.
Let loose, bro. And I had so many jokes that I wanted to say in a special that I couldn't remember. But then they all came to me on Sunday, man. Like I was talking, I never really talked about it, but I was living, bro. When I got my girlfriend pregnant, I was living with my son's baby mama and her mom and her little brother. I never talked about that. Her mom, like when they're 50s, they never had a dad. So I was living with them, bro. So I started talking about that, and then I made a joke about it because it's true, man. When you're living with your baby mama and your baby mama's mama, every morning you got to pretend to go to work somewhere. You don't want to be there, man. And they don't let you live there unless you work, which is why the dad left. So I started working on those bits, bro, and I started talking about how my baby mama's mom used to sleep on a big bed and leave us in the living room and she was pregnant. And I want to tell her, what's up, you old bitch? You know, Why don't you fucking switch fucking rooms or something? Give us the best room.
Fuck, Utari made you king. Eh?
And then I remember my other jokes I haven't said in a while, like when I used to live in front of a bus stop.
Uh-huh.
And it sucked living in front of a bus stop because every morning, man, strangers were peeing on my door. And one time the bus driver came to my door. Hey, man, can I take a shit?
You're lying, fool.
For real.
That one time, we used to live right there in fucking right here, fucking. It was a little single right in the bottom. What did you answer, fool?
Hell no, bro. It's weird, like, when you, like, the rights that are taken away from you when you live in apartments. You don't realize that until a big shit happened.
Oh, yeah, fucking.
Like, they care about your vote, but when you live in, like, an apartment, just say that you live in a big-ass apartment with 100 people. All right. But the owner lives there, too. His vote probably costs more than the 100 people, huh?
To the owner? Yeah, because they're going to get hurt first.
Because he's the property owner.
Yeah, and then the thing is like fucking privacy, too, when you live with a lot of those people. Everybody's always walking around your shit, eyeballing your shit. You can't leave your fucking curtain open. Everybody's gonna, then you invite them in. Fuck. And then what if you smoke weed, dog?
I know, man.
Like, I'm always going to knock on, like, your door for that shit.
Like, when I used to live in the front, I used to live on the first floor, bro, in this apartment that was connected to a liquor store. Okay? And every day, cars would drive by, and their lights would go and fuck with my window.
Dude.
And they would drive to the liquor store, right? And I would think it was raining outside, and I look, and there's somebody peeing, bro.
November rain up in here, dog.
But that was like, yeah, man. I was living, like, right there, next to the liquor store.
And that's, you were by yourself then, huh?
No, I was living with my baby mama, too.
Oh, okay. Damn.
She was pregnant, bro.
Damn, for the little family.
I always live with a baby mama, bro.
Right there in the nook.
I forgot what I was going to say right now. But,
I don't know,
about living there.
Talking about when you live with the mom and the daughter, that, you know, you have to pretend you had to go to work and all that shit. And you weren't working.
Oh, yeah. So then I talked about living in front of a bus stop.
Your bits.
And the guy kept talking to my whole door. Then I was living right there at the front porch. Whatever, I forgot, dog.
Damn.
I was talking about, it was leading to something.
The one that got away.
It was leading to something prolific. I doubt it.
Ready to shake our minds, dog.
So, yeah, I've been watching this show on HBO. I'm promoting it. I don't know why, but it fucking is good. The Night Of.
Oh, The Night Of. I still haven't seen it.
So good, man.
Spoiler alert? What are you going to tell
me? Spoiler alert. The guy gets off. No. But, man, John Turturro's character, he's a dude that gets, he breaks off in psoriasis when he gets nervous.
Oh, so
psoriasis, right?
The little skin condition on the elbow.
So he starts off with a show, bro, with bad psoriasis. Like, it's all over his foot. Like, it makes his foot look like, you ever had bad athlete's feet at one time in your life where it was bad?
Nah, just a couple little flakes or whatever.
When your foot was itching like a motherfucker.
Nah, I've never had that burning shit, fool.
Never? You're lucky, bro. Your toes never split?
Nah,
fool. Yeah, the skin? You must take your shoes off when you fucking get home, man. so you never took your shoes off and they were sweating and then you fucking put the shoes back on?
Nah, dude, I like walking around without shoes, dog. At the home.
Well, man. Come back, because I never got home, bro. I never want to be in the house. Because in my house, bro, you take your shoes off, that means you're not going outside no more.
Where are you going?
Fuck. In my house growing up, if you took your shoes off, that means to my dad, that means you're never going outside again.
It's over.
Fuck that. Leave my shoes on, bro. Shit goes down, I'm leaving.
So homeboy has hardcore psoriasis?
Yeah, he had hard psoriasis, bro. That, man, this was in a fucking subway, bro. Sitting down, crossing his legs over his leg, not to sit down comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And the foot buster takes out a chopstick and starts scratching his foot right there.
Ah, dude. Fucking, that shit must have fucking...
It's so bad, dog. His son don't want to hang out and go for walks.
Fucking, where's that tenactin at, dog?
It's bad, bro. It's bad psoriasis on his foot. And he walks with flip-flops. And,
Oh, my God. So he's showing people?
Well, it itches, dog.
So, oh, he can't have it covered up.
He could have it with a shoe, but his foot... What is it, a step... Man, let me tell you, man. I've worn shoes that were tight, and my foot itches from the athlete's foot, and you can't take them off to scratch them, bro. You know what I would do, bro? Step on my foot.
Oh, for the pain, to kill the pain.
No, to kill the itch. Tough acting, tenactin commercial right here.
You're an animal, bro.
My first one on fire, bro.
Fuck, dog.
I never had it like that, but I've seen the commercials, right? When the foot's on fire and you spray that shit, shit, and it goes away.
Well, his shit's on fire, man.
And then what happens with that fool?
Oh, no, nothing. Oh, he goes to a Chinese doctor. And his Chinese doctor gave him some fucked up powders, right, to drink hard shit.
Did it work?
Yeah, it went away.
Oh, okay, fuck yeah.
Later on, bro, he got some nice shoes, went to his son. Huh? His son said, so?
So, dick. It's based in New York?
Yeah.
East Coast. You said Subway. That's
all good actors.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Who else is in it? Oh, shit.
A lot of good people. What's up? Jeff Cohen in the house.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only.
Bring it in, brother.
What's happening, brother?
How you doing?
Good. Pleasure, man.
I come bearing gifts.
All right.
Oh, a book.
Okay.
I wrote it.
Fantastic, dude.
It's good.
The deal maker.
I bet, dude.
It's not easy. We have a real author now.
Yeah, a real one.
Our other guest wrote pamphlets.
You know what? Somebody says they wrote a book, but it's like 30 pages.
Yeah, a blog and or pamphlet does not count. You gotta
5 pages of the preface.
That's not cool. You
gotta write a book, bro, and the whole book leads to you to buy another book.
Yeah, or you can like fold it and put it in your pocket. It's not even came in hardcover ever.
Well, my book, bro, the one when I write a book, man, it's gonna be a book plus it's gonna be a pop up book.
Interactive
pop up book, nice
3D dog.
little old school.
Yeah, or secret pages like I'm.
Secret pages.
Like, wait a minute, there's another page hidden here that people find out 10 years later?
And a page within a page.
There's like a little joint right there.
I thought you were going to be like giving like some hieroglyphics or something.
Or a key to escape.
A code.
What's up, fool? We have our guest here, Jeff B. Cohen.
Hello.
He's an entertainment lawyer, child actor. But my question is...
cultural icon?
I was going to say child star.
cultural icon. But we're going to get to that.
Come on, Felipe. Give me some cred, dude. Yeah, what's up, man?
All right, Michael Jackson didn't come to my house to use the restroom.
But it's not it.
Whoa. Nice pool, Jeff.
I pushed my sister down the stairs.
My favorite part was, la, la. I'm going to bite his fingers.
You guys have practiced this.
No, I haven't seen the movie, and I would say...
No, him and I, we watched it at my house.
Days ago.
And I have to admit that I watched it late in my life.
Oh, dude.
Because I watched clips and clips. You know, my dad never goes to the fucking movies, bro.
I seen it on VHS tape. I didn't see it at the movies.
Was your VHS connected to another movie?
There was three or four of them in a 9-hour tape. There's even being a porno at the end.
I was talking about the Goonies.
Goonies.
Good point, Lisa.
We have Jeff B. Cohen. He plays Chunk in the movie The Goonies.
Oh, yeah.
I used to be
You guys!
Used to be a chunk, now I'm a hunk. It's not easy.
I know, man. You look totally different. You look like Chunk. You look more like Skink. Skinny.
It's better than Skank, which is another character. Yeah.
Oh, man. Hell yeah, dude.
There it is.
Good to be here, gentlemen.
Good to have you here, man. So what's the difference between an agent and an entertainment lawyer?
Sure. Wow, just heavy stuff, Felipe. I feel like I'm bringing everybody down with it.
No, man,
let me tell you about force majeure clauses. Sometimes
a lot of people are wondering,
go ahead. No, it's a great question.
A lot of the listeners going, now, what the fuck you go to that question for?
It's all good. Educate the public.
Let's get to Butterfingers first.
A baby Ruth, Felipe.
Yeah. Butterfingers is a character in another movie with Bruce Willis, I think.
Yeah, that's not cool, dude.
I'm
sorry. Huh?
What did I say, Butterfinger?
I don't know.
It's the B word. I'm very sensitive about that. It's
Baby Ruth. Bro.
Baby Ruth. Baby Ruth.
Baby Ruth.
No, you know what's funny, actually? When I was, chubby little kid, chunky little kid, and, after I did Goonies, Baby Ruth, because they were a sponsor, because it's one of the it's a candy bar they use in the thing, actually sent me a gross, and I didn't know what that was, a gross of Baby Ruth bars, which is basically like an enormous box, you know, that you'd
say a pallet.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, like that you'd like give to a retailer or something. So I basically spent a summer working my way through that pallet, and I kind of did it. I kind of did it.
Wow!
I got diabetes, but it was worth it because You know, I have an objective and I complete it. So if you're going to eat a pallet of candy bars, I highly recommend Baby Ruth. You
know like I mean? A soldier.
Yeah, it is. But no, but you're saying entertainment lawyers, what do we do? Well, agent, manager, entertainment lawyer. So I'm an entertainment lawyer. I'll represent artists. It's Felipe Esparza, the handsome and charming and talented Felipe Esparza.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, I'm not a real lawyer. So I don't have to, like, go to court and, you know, wear a tie and do stuff like that. I negotiate deals. So basically when a deal's complex enough, like when you're creating your own show, when you are, you know, producing and starring in something, then my law firm would come in to negotiate the deal. An agent's main role is to go out and find the deal. And a manager, you know, helps develop the material and is kind of, you know, an all-around player for the client. So that's kind of the big split.
And as far as you say that you're not a real lawyer, you don't go to court. So you're in focus like contract law, right?
Yeah, that's right. So when our clients get, you know, clever and, you know, punch a cop in the face or have other, you know, extracurricular activities, we have other lawyers that we can connect them with. Real lawyers who are awesome in court. So we have like our criminal lawyers, we have our family lawyers, we have kind of our we're like the consigliere. We're like, you know, Tom Hagen and Godfather. We're kind of just the general lawyer. And then we have kind of all of our relationships that we would plug in for our clients.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So OJ's entertainment lawyer with Robert Shapiro?
No. I think he was real. I think he was like criminal, a litigator, yeah, man. He was doing it.
Yeah,
he was
the real deal, you know, criminal defense attorney.
So what kind of law you study, Rodrigo, man?
Well, it was just criminal law, contract law, and torts.
Oh, cool.
And then I took a summer course in criminal procedure.
Oh, cool.
And then community property, and that's all it was. That's pretty much your first year of law school is those three subjects.
Yeah, that's cool, man. How'd you like it?
I liked it. The only thing is I wasn't sleeping. I was doing pest control and I was doing stand-up comedy, so it's just a little too much to be biting on.
Wow,
it's always been interesting to me. I always liked it. And, you know, because, I mean – it's, you know, it's our constitutional right to contract. And sure. I mean, it's laws rule the land, so you got to abide by it, you know, and everything, every little, you know, mishap, whether it's a criminal one or, you know, a contract dispute ends up in court.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
And the lawyers, attorneys are the mechanics or officers of the court to work that out.
Yeah, that's right. And it's like, it's our job to, as a contract lawyer, you know, you never want it to get to the litigation. You never want it to be a big fight. You want to kind of think about every potential scenario before it happens and have everybody agree to what the solution would be. That's our goal.
And that's what a great contract lawyer does. You know,
well, it's not easy, but thank you.
Because there's some guys, you know.
I'm no Abe Lincoln, but I try to do my... Every time people say I hate lawyers, I'm like, Abe Lincoln was a lawyer.
Yeah, totally.
He was cool.
So was Hillary, right?
She's an attorney.
Hillary?
They're all lawyers.
Yeah. So was all the guys are practitioners. I mean, you know, written the Constitution is basically
Thomas
you know.
Jefferson, yeah. Lawyer.
Ben Franklin, scientist.
Yeah, like George Washington was a surveyor.
Gonorrhea? No. I didn't know that from The Office.
And how'd you get started in law? What drove you into that direction?
Lack of any other viable alternative, I think. You know, because I was a kid actor, loved acting. Like that was my passion. Hit puberty, which was like, a career ender for me. You know, because I just started looking different. I couldn't get roles.
So looking like Chris Penn, huh?
Yeah.
This fool.
That's some cold shit.
Cold-blooded.
That is some cold shit. Yes, I started looking like Chris Penn. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Esparza.
What? No, I didn't. The 10 years? No, it just came to me.
He was great. Chris Penn was great.
He's an awesome actor, bro. You should have seen him in the movie The Funeral.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah. How about Reservoir Dogs?
Reservoir Dogs, yes. Right?
Shortcuts. You know? Huh, Shortcuts.
Ooh. I don't remember him in Shortcuts.
Nice pool.
Shortcuts? Shortcuts.
They go to the park.
See, I'm thinking Shortcuts. I'm thinking about robots.
Short Circuit.
See, what I'm thinking
Johnny
about.
Five.
Really? I remember someone getting punched by Johnny Five.
It was a punk rocker. Came back all spray painted.
No, man. In The Funeral, this is a hardcore scene where... Christopher Walken, his older brother, and some other guys, they're partying, right? And they're partying in the 1920s before prohibition, right? But they were like low-level Sicilian thugs. They were just the murder people, right? They were like, they were nothing. They were showing like the bad side of the being in the mafia, like the lower tier. And
the workers.
They're partying, and it's crazy. Like his brother is making out with a real old lady. like old lady, like
it
she
happens.
Could be a grandma.
It happens. Come on, man. Don't judge, man.
And
it happens.
Christian Walken
it
has
it
a young girl, and Chris Penn is with a. He's with somebody. He goes, "You're old enough to be my daughter." He goes, "Here's some money. You get out of this life. Here, get the fuck out of here." So he gives the money, and she goes, "For $100, I'll let you put it in my ass." You fucking whore! He starts slapping her, dog. And he goes, and it's Harry Sags, "I give you a chance to get out." I go, "Now you just sold your soul to the devil." And he's yelling. You can see his emotion and his level of intensity. And I said, "Damn, man, where did he pick that from?" He'll probably think about, "My brother's better than me."
Damn. Because they were both in a movie together with Christopher Walken, where Christopher Walken was their dad and he was a dick.
Yeah. It was Sean Penn and Christopher Walken. That was like a close
Chris
range.
Chris Penn was in there too.
Yeah. At close range, right?
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
So did you audition for Goonies?
Yeah, yeah. But
out of 5,000 people, they chose you?
Well, no, actually, see, here's what's kind of the one of the – because I was a kid actor in the 80s and
– what stuff were you on before that?
Game
well,
show, right?
You might recall a very special episode of Webster, Felipe.
That's what, yeah!
Yeah!
That was right. That was me. No,
you were young, little kid.
No, I did all the – I did like all the 80s sitcoms like Family Ties and Facts of Life and Webster and Webster. Kids Incorporated. That was pretty embarrassing. That was, dude, kids,
that
remember
was
that?
That show,
kids,
bro. That was my fucking show right there.
Dude, kids.
Look at that. My nipples are getting hard.
Wow, I'm seeing it. Wow.
Because nobody, every time I brought that up, nobody has said anything. Kids Incorporated.
K-I-D-S. Yes.
Kids Incorporated was like the kids' version of that show.
Fame? No.
Fame or the Real People.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, it was that was the one show I did when I was a kid that I actually was so bad I had to turn it off that I was like, wow, dude, this is not cool. Because basically, like, I'm this little fat kid, the show, it was very 80s, as you know, like all neon, and it was super like 1984.
Back in the day when everybody loved OJ. Oh, he was big. OJ,
he was the talk
Cindy.
Of the town. He was
on everything.
What, the Prince
what,
of Brentwood.
What can't he do? What can't that guy do? It basically was all kids and like kids hanging out, and they would do different dance numbers and like cover whatever the popular song was. So I'm this little fat kid. I can't sing. I can't dance. And I had to do a dance number. I had to do a choreographed dance and sing. And again, keep in mind, I cannot sing and I cannot dance. I'm this fat little kid. It was to Prince's Baby, I'm a Star. And it was just even worse than it sounds. It was just horrible because I'm like this little fat, like 10-year-old. There's all these great, like 14-year-old, trained dancers around me doing all this perfect, like Vegas stuff. And I'm just like, fat guy walking over here, fat guy walking over here. And for me, when I was a kid and a show I did was on, I was all excited. I'm like, oh, my Webster's going to be on tonight. I'm going to see it. Or Kids Incorporated would come out. It was Saturday. It was like a Saturday afternoon, like Saturday morning show. It was one show. I was like, even as a kid, I was like, oh boy, my Kids Incorporated is going to be on today at 2:00, right after Soul Train. Okay, awesome. And I like watched it for like 5 minutes and I was like, no, man, this ain't working. I just turned it off. I was like, this has to go away. And back then, you didn't have the internet, so it could go away. You know what I mean? If you did something stupid, there wasn't necessarily like a Facebook clip that everyone could continually watch. So it's out there. Chunk Kids Incorporated. Feel free to Google that, and it is as worse. It is worse actually than I'm pitching. So.
Where was Goonies shot? Oregon?
Yeah. It was Astoria, Oregon, where they shot Short Circuit.
I guessed it.
Huh? And The Ring and Kindergarten Cop. So the outside
beautiful
stuff.
Town.
Oh, so have you been there? Astoria?
Never. When I saw it, I said I want to live in this neighborhood.
It's so nice.
I thought it was Maine at first, but then I said no, this has to be. When I actually went to Portland. Then I saw the movie again. Yeah. This is Portland.
Yeah. It's Oregon. And so it's Astoria, Oregon. It's like the northwest corner of Oregon, right on the mouth of the Columbia River, right by Washington. So we did the outdoor stuff there. And then we did the indoor stuff at Warner Brothers. So all of the caves and the pirate ship and all that stuff, that was Warner Brothers. And then we did some stuff in a little place called Bodega Bay, like at the end of the thing.
Bodega Bay in like Northern California.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. It's funny. Actually, I want to talk about the cruelty of show business. Let's get really dark.
Yes,
for sure.
Because Bodega Bay, it's funny. Is weird. Kid actors have terrible, stories of stuff that happened. Nothing really bad ever happened to me. Like, nobody ever touched me in a weird place. I think kind of being a little chubby kid was like a natural defense against that or something.
Same here, bro. Nobody touched me either.
It's and like, nobody kidnapped me. No,
you can't, right? It's like again, being a
nobody
fat kid.
Lift me.
Exactly. No, you can't. They can't put you in the kidnap van. You're too heavy. You're the least likely target. But it was funny. And I was actually talking with one of the kids from Goonies who's still my pal, Ki Kwan, who played Data and was in Temple of Doom. Lovely guy. Great
guy. Dr. Jones.
That's the guy. So
he was also in a sitcom too when they're in high school, right?
Yeah. Head of the class. Head of the class.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. So Key's the best. And I was being like, hey, Key, you know what's so funny? Like, remember like in Bodega Bay when we come back to our hotel rooms, like they'd have those muffins for us. Wasn't that cool? Because as a fat kid, like, oh, remember that time I ate that muffin? That was six years old. And Key was like, Jeff, there's no muffins. I was like, no, dude, remember, like, every time we come back from the set, like, in our room, there'd be a big box of muffins. He's like, nah, man, they didn't give me any muffins. And then I realized what happened, and it was so horrific. Because Goonies shot for a long time. It was like 6 months. It was like a very long shoot because we kept messing up and they'd have to do more takes and stuff, right? And just kind of naturally as I was getting older, I was getting thinner. So I was kind of going from chunky to a little less chunky.
Oh.
And they filmed that at the end of the movie. And I guess because I was kind of thinning out, you couldn't have like a skinny chunk. You know what I mean?
Some carbs.
So like they're like, hey, I got an idea. The fat kid's not so fat anymore. You know, what is he like? Oh, that little fat bastard likes muffins. I bet he loves muffins.
Let's get him a gross muffin.
So literally, dude, when I would come back to my hotel room, there'd be a beautiful big pink box of like banana nut muffins. And here's a blueberry muffin. And there's a chocolate chip muffin.
Heaven.
And again, I just tear my way through that. I'm like, hey,
nothing but rap
free muffins. This is unbelievable. Yeah, and so then I was like, oh my God, like 20 years later or whatever, I was talking to Key. I was like, those bastards were fattening me up. They were fattening me up like a little pig to bring to slaughter. How horrible is that? So nobody ever touched me, but they did try to force feed me muffins, which was weird.
And they give you a gross amount of Baby Ruth.
Yeah.
To keep you fat.
It was a gross quantity of Baby Ruth.
Yeah, we gotta keep
sure.
this kid big, man. We're trying to make him play Dom DeLuise's son. That's crazy. Wow. That must happen a lot because when I watch those episodes of Seinfeld where the little Mickey, he's a dwarf.
Okay.
He's playing he's a little person. He's playing the stand-in for the kid actor.
Okay.
And then he goes, man, this kid keeps growing, man. This kid keeps growing. So the little person, Mickey, he starts making that kid start smoking, bro, so he won't grow.
Keep him little.
It's the same thing. It's like the muffin version of that. Yes, absolutely.
And did you get that movie like right away, or was it a big old process once you auditioned for Goonies?
Well, it's funny. Like, so I started acting when I was about 7, and then I did Goonies when I was 10. And
you were 10?
I was 10. Yeah,
you were older.
All the kids were a little bit older. Like, all the kids were like, you know, like Josh and Martha, Josh, you know, Josh Brolin, Martha Plimpton. They were like 17. And then like Corey and Sean Astin and Key, like they were all around 14. But I was just kind of a big kid, so. But yeah, the nice thing about it is though, like, you know, in the fat kid community in Hollywood in like, you know, the mid 80s, it was a heavy set, but small community. You know what I mean? Like every like part I'd go out for, there'd be the same four other fat kids there. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, hey, what's up, man? Kind of thinning out there, Scott, huh? Kind of like psych each other out. So if for every part that I went out for, it was nice because it wasn't a cattle call. They're like, who's our best fat kids? You know, bring in the best fat kids we have. And I was one of the best fat kids. Very proud of that.
I'm trying to think of other chubby kids, but they're all from different years. Like it was you, then that real freckled redheaded kid from...
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Sandlot? Sandlot, yeah.
Then and there was a kid from Stand By Me.
Jerry O'Connor. Yeah.
Yeah, and he thinned out now too, right? Yeah.
He did good.
You know who else was in Goonies?
That kid.
Lupe Ontiveros.
Oh, Lupe Ontiveros. Oh, she was the coolest.
Esta es una casa de locos. Por Dios.
She was on Selena's killer.
La cocaína y la heroína son este cabrón.
Nice.
She played Selena's killer.
Yeah, dude.
She was a great actor, man. She's so good. And she was in a movie called El Norte.
Yeah.
Oh, man. She was good in that. She passed away. I miss her. She was great. Great actor. So good.
At the end, no firme. No firme. No sign. And then don't sign. That was cool. And then that ship came up. Holy Mary, Mother of God.
You know, it's funny, actually. Literally, it's in the LA Weekly today. They were – I did an interview. They interviewed like a couple like 80s kids actors to talk about the fact that – because they're comparing it to Stranger Things. Have you guys seen Stranger Things on Netflix?
No.
It's kind of like there's a lot of 80s throwbacks in it. It's like, you know, there's some kind of homages to like Goonies and like, you know, Stand By Me and some Stephen King movies and like, you know, Close Encounters. And it's basically – it's like there's adult characters and there's kid characters and the kids cuss. So like things that you would never see like in a Nickelodeon kid show, a Disney kid show, kids cuss. And the article in LA Weekly today was basically in like family movies in the 80s, you know, Back to the Future, you know, Goonies, Stand By Me, whatever. There's tons of cussing. Like kids are cussing all throughout and that was totally acceptable versus now it's something you would never see. So anyways, I like it. I think kids should cuss.
I know, man.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Like, I remember in an 80s movie, like the daughter would be like, "Mom, you're acting like a bitch."
Yeah, dog.
You die, bro.
All resentful and shit. Hell yeah.
You root for that little girl.
Dude, that's awesome, dude.
Hell yeah. God,
dude, shit, I grew up cussing. You?
Hell no.
No, fool?
Not even in Spanish. Well, outside the house.
No, but like just with your friends.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
Yeah, just,
oh,
yeah. Yeah, just when you're, you know.
So good was, bro.
He was a saint.
I was a saint, bro.
De Jesus, dude.
So what was the...
Wait. So what? I was curious. So you grew up in Boyle Heights.
Yes. Yeah.
Wait. So where'd you go to high school?
Roosevelt High School.
Oh, cool. I went to Taft in Woodland Hills. So
Taft
T House. LAUSD.
After President Taft, huh?
That's right.
So the
fattest president.
Howard Taft.
The fattest president.
The big ass chair.
Who were your rivals in the high school?
Oh,
Palisades.
I was
or
like
or Granada.
It was like Granada had some good players.
Yeah.
Didn't like Elway go to Granada?
Yeah.
I think John Elway went to Granada before Stanford. We hated El Camino.
El Camino.
Because we call them the Smurfs because they were blue. So like they were the Smurfs, man. You get the Smurfs, dude. Yeah. So we hated them. They were kind of our big rivals. How about you guys? Who did you guys hate?
Garfield. Always.
Never trusted those dudes. Never
since
trusted
day one.
Garfield
because our neighborhood was Jewish and there was. Their neighborhood was German back in the
1930s. Oh, really?
Yes.
Seriously?
So the rival stays. And wow. Then, and I remember what the manager at Vons, where I go, he went to Roosevelt and his kids go to Garfield, but he never says Garfield. They go to Gar Trash. They go to Garbage Field.
We don't allow cussing in this house.
You've done well for yourself, sir.
Conflict.
So, when you, I know, after Goonies, man, did you think that would be that big?
You know,
did it do well at the movie theaters?
Yeah. It did well. It was good. It was weird.
A lot of fan mail.
Yeah, you know, back
people
when they
send you Snickers.
Again, wrong candy bar. I don't know. Look, man, it ain't a Snickers, dude. It's not nothing against Snickers.
Sponsored by Mars, bro.
It's not a.
Our show sponsored by Mars.
That's cool. Yeah. That's
to the moon, Alice.
It was a Baby Ruth.
Does it say you still? You inspire me to be fat.
No, but actually, almost as bad. People would be like, you know, I'll get this now. People would be like, oh, I was a fat kid growing up, and my whole family were a bunch of bastards, and they would make me do the truffle shuffle. They'd make me shake my belly and so they're angry at me. Like, it was my fault. I didn't write that,
it was
dude.
Me, it was the producers.
I didn't write that.
Man. That's funny, man, because that would happen in my neighborhood. Like, I see a fat kid with no tissue. Look at fucking Chunko over here. He's Mexican. Chunko.
Gordo.
That's weird, man, to watch the show, their movie in a different language.
Yeah, it's subtitled. Cool.
How do they truffle shuffle in Spanish? How do they translate that?
I did just a noise, though, because it wasn't a word.
El baile truffle.
El truffle shuffle?
El truffle shuffle.
I don't know, man.
Did you guys stop on the streets all the time?
Well, you know what? It's I mean, I acted basically from, like, I guess, like age like 7 to like 15. And then I was like, what does it all mean? You know, hit puberty. And I'm like, I can't get – I'm a has-been. Like, oh, God. It's all downhill from here. And I was right. So, you know, so here's to that. No. So basically what happened to me is the guy who directed Goonies is named Richard Donner. So Dick Donner is like the coolest guy.
He directed a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, huh?
Well, he did Mel Gibson, but you know it's okay. They're both
Lethal Weapon
action. Yeah, exactly. Okay, exactly. Yeah, you got it. So Dick did like all the Lethal Weapons. He did Superman 1. He did The Omen. You know, him and his wife, Lauren Shuler Donner, who's an amazing producer. They like produced, the X-Men films and things like that. So Dick kind of, I was really lucky. He kind of took me under his wing and let me start working for him at Warner Brothers as just a production assistant. So
awesome.
When I was at Taft, like over the summer, I would work for Dick, and then eventually went to Berkeley for undergrad, and then Dick would get me different jobs at Warner Brothers to kind of teach me the other side of show business. So it was cool, you know.
And like the business side of it?
Yeah, exactly. Like I'd work for like the lawyers at Warner Brothers, and then I'd work for like the development executives who help, like greenlight movies and stuff. And then I'd work for marketing just to kind of see what's going on. Because I love show business. I think it's important. You know what I mean? I think it's funny. I think the ultimate aim of like society is culture, right? Like, I mean, when for we sure. look at like the Roman Empire, we look at their, we look at their murals, we look at their architecture, we look at their plays, it's like kind of what generations passed down. So I wanted to find a way to contribute. And just in my research, I found that a lot of kind of, moguls and people who really could make an impact, in show business had a legal background. Whether they were agents or producers or managers or studio executives. So kind of, poking around and kind of working in different areas of show business and meeting with people that I respected, I eventually went to law school at UCLA. Then I started working at Universal Studios in the Beetlejuice show. I was Beetlejuice Jr. For about 2 years. No, just kidding. But I'm glad you believed it, though. That's awesome. I was Wolfman Jr. See? Trick here. No, I worked in the television production division, and then I started my own law firm in 2002 in Beverly Hills, Cohen Gardner. And, we've been going strong ever since. So it's cool. Doing deals.
Awesome.
I get to go to the parties and I don't have to audition, so it's better.
Oh, hell
it's
yeah.
Better.
That's why I met you at the Ari Shaffir's Isn't That Happening.
Oh, yeah. He's one of our clients.
Fun place to hang out. Free beer.
Yeah, man. That's a great show. That is a great show.
I was fun doing that show.
This Is Not Happening? You guys recorded at Cheetahs, right?
Cheetahs, bro.
Hell yeah.
It's a weird environment, Cheetahs. But it totally works, right?
It's totally works for the bar, show. Right? Bikini bar. They don't show anything? No.
They used
I
to,
swear
though, right?
I saw something when I went there.
Yeah, we went there days ago, like 15 years ago with El Catrín.
I saw stuff there. A lot. Maybe it was just for me privately there because I was seeing like a, I don't know.
I think I got titties as a face there.
I got the side underwear to the side and I saw, but.
No, that's totally not.
Really?
Not what they do.
But
we went there before.
I must be special. Because I remember going like this, slipping my dollars. And I remember, like, I was like, this little peek.
I got titty slapped there.
Well, so if you need to file a lawsuit, I have somebody I could plug in for the.
So you wrote the deal makers, 10 commandments.
Yes.
These 10 essential tables. What we doing?
The 10 essential tools for business forged in the trenches of Hollywood.
What made you inspired to write this book?
It was cool. The American Bar Association approached me because they wanted to do a book about entertainment law. So the American Bar Association, they're the publisher, but I love business books. Like I'm a big fan of like self-help stuff, and business books have been helpful to me. I was like, hey, well, let me open it up a little bit. So let me make it kind of just for business people generally. So the big idea is it's kind of my 10 commandments that I've developed to negotiate great deals, manage your time and handle crisis without losing your soul, because there's a danger that when we fight monsters, we can become one, so there's kind of that idea. So basically it's just kind of, I wrote it just for, I mean, it's, again, it's published by the Bar Association, but it's just for business people, and it's done well. And, to help people have a better, business life. And it's funny, in the beginning of the book, I have a warning. Basically, it's like, hey, the 10 commandments, these dealmakers' 10 commandments are pretty hardcore. They are not for your personal life. Like, do not use the, like, it's not, do not use them for, relationships and family and pets. And it's not for, just for business. So it's pretty hardcore. It's pretty, realpolitik. I based it off of a book called The Prince by Niccolo Machiavelli.
Awesome.
So kind of a famous kind of hardcore book about like, finding what you want and, smashing everyone to get it. So that's kind of the idea. And I think it works great for business, but again, not for personal. That is the kind of the key idea of it, I suppose.
Jeff, what helped you not go the crazy side like not most, but some child actors go to, like using drugs and partying and disappearing and Like, people not wondering where you're at. Because that basically happened to me, and I wasn't even famous when it happened. I had the life of a child actor without even being in any movies.
I like that. You were in a hurry. You just, like, skipped to the breakdown. You're like, I don't want to do Kids Incorporated. I don't want to spend the time. I don't want to learn the dance moves.
I don't want to be Plácido de Sésame.
Give me the spoils.
Yes, exactly. I don't want to... Yeah, hang out on a Plaza de Sesame. Just you went straight for the breakdown, man. I dig that. You know what I mean?
I don't want to be Electric Company my whole life, like Baby Spider-Man.
Dude, nice pool. Remember Electric Company? Like they're Spider-Man. Like
Morgan Freeman was Spider-Man.
What?
Yes, he was.
No way.
Morgan Freeman, Electric Company, he was the one that dressed up like Spider-Man.
How do you know?
Look it up.
How does anybody know?
Look it up.
He was wearing a suit the whole time.
Huh? Morgan Freeman, because he was going to the LA City College at the time, and he had just swear to God,
bunch of odd jobs I was doing back then.
I think he was.
That's Spider-Man. Amazing. I love that.
Absolutely.
I was swinging down the webs and looking for the goblin.
And also the ABA did a profile on you too, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty
amazing. Look at Rodrigo doing. Look at his homework.
It's funny. I think the fact that I was an actor when I was a kid has kind of been a strength for me as a lawyer and as an entertainment lawyer, because it's like I realize it's not just academic. Like, I know how hard it is to get those opportunities, and how much work, by the time the deal gets to me, how much work has gone into it and to just kind of take really good care of it and kind of understand how challenging it is to be an artist. You know what I mean?
Was your parents very supportive of you or my question is, before we get to that question, because I'm pretty obviously they were supportive because you're doing well, but did you see a lot of crazy Hollywood parents?
Yeah.
I see them at auditions.
Yeah. Kids working generally is weird. You know what I mean? There's laws against that.
Because you got a 2-year-old, and a 2-year-old before can work all day before, but now a 2-year-old can only work all day. That 2-year-old better have a twin.
Well, remember we used to see toddlers and tiaras and all and see how crazy the moms got with them?
But those are fashion shows.
Yeah, but it's like, dude, putting people in front of people? Ugh.
Like before lawyers started coming in and SAG and all that, like the little rascals. They all fucking day.
Yeah, man. Did you like the Rascals? Like, I love the
Little Rascals. I love the Little Rascals.
Wait. KTLA Family Film Festival. Do you guys watch that, like, back in the day? Dude, Tom Hatton? Come on, Tom Hatton, bro! Tom Hatton! Popeye!
No.
You put on the Popeye outfit or the Popeye hat, man. It was amazing.
You're taking me back, bro. I'm getting goosebumps.
Dude, KTLA, man.
The doodles they used to send.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
You could send Tom Patsy a little doodle.
The doodle.
And then he'll make it a whole picture.
Dude.
All of a doodle.
Dude, it'd be like a little, and then he'd be like, here's the Mona Lisa. Boom. There you go, Tom Hatton. Genius. Wait, did you ever watch the show?
He taught me fine arts.
Or no? Yeah, but I was always outside riding my bike.
Two shows. Tom Hatton had the Tom Hatton show. Then he was host of the Popeye cartoons.
Yeah, man. And he'd have the sailor hat.
Yeah,
and,
Yeah, he was a cool dude.
Dude, I swear to God, I think for me as a kid,
Family Film Festival.
Like wanting to be an actor.
Danny K.
It was all Family Film Festival, man, because it would be the Three Stooges, and that was awesome. I love that, as a fat kid, you're looking for fat role models, and you're like, man, Curly. Curly is the man. Dude, Spanky, with the Little Rascals, that's why I wanted to get in the show business. I was like, dude, he's a little fat guy. I'm like, he's the boss. I'm like, he's the funniest guy, man.
Yes, he is.
He's running shit.
I'm like, Crabtree in his pocket.
Exactly, dude. His Crabtree's in the pocket.
Yeah, I saw Bugsy Malone and
Whoa, dude. Now I'm getting goosebumps, dude. Bugsy Malone, so good. Unbelievably good.
I wanted a pie machine gun, bro.
Dude, I would watch that movie. Dude, again.
I always wanted to be a gangster. This guy over here.
I wanted a pie machine gun, bro.
Dude, and one of the characters again was Fat Sam, guy who ran the speakeasy. Fat Sam, this little kid. I was like, dude, I want to be like Fat Sam, Spanky and Curly, man.
Fat
like,
Sam was cool, man.
Dude, Jodie Foster was in that. Who else?
Scott Baio.
Yeah, he was Bugsy Malone, dude. And you know what's funny? The guy who made all the songs for that was Paul Williams. Who did he did all the songs, he did all the songs from the Muppet movie and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, dude, great
My
songs,
name
great
is
dance
Tallulah.
Numbers. Wow, damn.
Hey man,
Jodie Foster when solo. I was living in, Felipe, I am impressed, dude. You know Tallulah's lines? Snap. dude. No, no, no.
So you wanna be a gangster
and the golden no boxer. So you wanna be a boxer
in the golden ring.
Can you punch like a southbound freight train?
Tell me just one thing.
Whoa!
Okay, okay. How about this? Okay, I'm gonna start. You finish. You can do it. We could have been anything
thing that we wanted to be.
Yeah, baby.
Give me the goosebumps.
Exactly. No, I'm sorry. When I was back in.
Have a moment, dude.
Dude, Bugsy Malone. Like, and that is like not on Netflix. That is like not out there, dude. That has to be out there. People, like, let's put Bugsy Malone back in circulation. That was done.
I met girls that they got into dance because they saw that movie.
Sure.
Because I wanted to be a dancer because I saw Bugsy Malone.
Wait, okay, wait. It was so cool because, like, the premise of the movie for the uninitiated was that it's basically like – it's like the 1930s. It's like an Al Capone movie basically. There's no adults in the whole film.
Baby Godfather movie.
Yeah, it's all – basically, like, the kids are adults. So the kids, like, you know, wear suits and
– They drive cars with pedals.
Yeah, those pedal cars.
I wanted that car.
Dude. And
like a four-door car, and dude, everybody had a pedal, bro.
So dynamite. And then, like – and, like, instead – and they have, like, speakeasy and, like, dance numbers and all kinds of stuff. And when they would kill somebody, instead of, like, shooting them – they would hit him in the face with a pie.
Yeah.
So, like, when you got hit in the face with a pie, you're
machine
out.
Gun.
And then so they had a pie machine gun. Like, one gang came up with a pie machine gun that could just, like, boom, boom, boom. It was whatever. I'm like, I digress, guys. I apologize.
It's funny. When I was, like,
little fans over
when
here.
I was living on, over there in downtown on Diamond Street neighborhood on Boylston, I hooked up with a gangbanger. His name was Bugsy Malone.
Wow.
And I remember we were partying, and then we were smoking Primos, right? And then Primos is marijuana with crack. And he was standing all badass next to me because I was a comedian. Hey, bro, you ever seen that movie, Bugsy Malone? And I said, this hardcore motherfucker busted out Bugsy Malone.
No rap group.
I got just as excited as doing that with Jeff. Fuck yeah, bro. My name, I started dancing like a gay dude. My name is Tallulah.
I wanted a pipe machine gun, dog.
He goes, I started dancing. My name is Tallulah. He goes, Charlie Hulk. Not that pussy shit, bro. Bugsy Malone, bro. He was the coolest fool in that movie, dog.
That's how badass I am, bro.
My name, I'm so badass, I got two nicknames, bro. Bugsy and Malone.
That is pretty badass.
That is hilarious, dog.
And Meatballs, bro.
Oh, Meatballs, dynamite. Meatballs, dynamite movie.
Remember when they brought in the special hot dog eating contest?
Yeah, man. Wait, Joey, it just doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
One of Bill Murray's kind of best roles, dude.
Best role.
And that's saying something.
My best line in the movie, when he finally is dancing with that chick, and he's fucking feeling her back, he's feeling her bra, hey, what are you fucking waiting for, a fucking assassination here?
No, dude, Meatballs is dynamite. Man, that's a great movie.
You guys are killing
and
me.
Bullies, bro.
Bullies.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, was it My Bodyguard?
Oh, My Bodyguard.
That
kid
from Meatballs was in My Bodyguard.
Yeah. The little kid who would run. He was like the runner. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And then later on, he got older. He looked weird. So, what were you thinking when you started seeing all these actors like that were in your movie sliding down?
Well,
those are your friends, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think being a kid actor generally is a weird thing.
It's a weird stuff.
It's a weird thing.
It's like putting a kid to work in a coal mine.
Yeah.
It's the same feeling. You want him to keep bringing those coals in.
Exactly.
And one day the coal mining mountain closes. Now what?
It's like coal mining, but they have muffins. So, I mean, it's a little... It's like...
I still can't get over that. Because I'm pretty sure if I was in that, I was a chubby Mexican in that show. Bro, you mean to tell me, bro, they never send you a burrito every day? They never send you a chata, dog?
No.
It's an amazing fajita platter every night.
They never send you a piñata full of Baby Ruth?
Got the candy there.
It was so funny. Like, it was amazing that I didn't realize that until, like, literally 20 years later. I was like, Key, remember those muffins?
What's amazing is that you didn't bother to share them with anybody.
Dude, I'm a fat kid, and I'm like, I'm in...
Dude.
I'm giving, like, my box of muffins. Nobody's getting near that. Those are my muffins, dude.
Hey, Jeff, I didn't even know, man, about muffins. So I met my wife, you know, because she's white. You know, Mexicans, we don't do stuff like that. Like, because she goes, she was eating a blueberry muffin. She goes, you don't know about warming it up and putting butter in it?
Yeah, that's how you do it.
I didn't know that. Did you put butter on muffins?
Yeah.
Dude. My dad didn't let us.
Wait.
You have to say the butter's expensive, dog.
We didn't put butter on anything.
Come out of the oven, dude?
Except a loaf of bread and put sugar on it.
What?
We used to get buttered. We used to put butter on our bread and then put sugar on it. And then,
ghetto delicacy.
Yeah, man, that's a good ass sandwich.
That sounds pretty delicious. It sounds kind of good.
Wait, just like the top part of the muffin, anyways.
Wait. So was that the muffin substitute? Like, what took the place of muffins?
We never had muffins. I don't have muffins till I grew up. We have sweet bread, pan dulce.
Ooh, that's pretty good. That sounds delicious.
That bread needs more sugar. Wow, man.
Sugar on top of sugar, shit.
So when your book is out, where can they buy it?
Oh, yeah, cool. So just go to theamazon.com, and we have the hardcover, the Kindle, and the audiobook. So if you love these golden this golden pipe, this voice, I will actually read you the book. If you're that lazy, I'll read you the damn book. Just
silver-tongued devil, you.
Also, you can go to our felipesworld.com, and we'll have a link for Jeff Cohen's book.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And Amazon will give a little hookup for
to
it.
The
sweet
Amazon window.
So when you became you came out and you started being a entertainment lawyer, did you just jump in to be an entertainment lawyer, or somehow you always wanted to do that?
Well, it's, it's funny, actually. I mean, again, and it's so funny, man, because it was like as a kid, it was Tom Hatton, man. It was the Family Film Festival on KTLA on Channel 5. Like, I was just obsessed with – they would show the old Little Rascals from the 30s and, Bugsy Malone and,
Man, Jeff, did that fucking – old school Pinocchio cartoon trip.
How
hardcore is that?
It was death,
man. It was scary.
Dude, again, yeah. Or remember, they'd always play, the Pippi Longstocking, but, the dubbed one? You know what I mean?
Pippi Longstocking, hoping to hang out.
Does no one know what we're talking about? Come on, guys.
No, I used to see it, but I was like...
Remember, it was made in, Norway or something?
Tommy, Annika.
Exactly. Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Nelson.
The big-ass fucking horse.
Villa Kula. That was the place, dude. But
I always live alone.
Dude,
South Seas, man.
They have cool boots.
They would have crazy Pippi Longstocking marathons. Apparently there was 12 Pippi Longstocking movies. They'd just run them.
But was that show German? Or what language was it originally from? Swiss?
I don't know. In my mind, I just thought it was Norway. Like the Vikings, after they were done invading places, were like, hey guys, you know what? We've been a little hardcore. Let's go the other way. Let's write a beloved kid's tale and film it and ship it out to the States. First... That was, I think, it's Vikings season 7.
That was
7.
My first taste of musicals and entertainment, man, with that Tom Hatton show.
Dude, I love that.
All of Danny Kaye's movies.
Oh, yeah, Danny Kaye's stuff would be – or they do Jerry Lewis would have a ton of stuff. It was really an education as a kid, I don't know.
It was all these movies, man. Danny Kaye would be in and also they show that movie that was kind of sad too, where it was Dean Martin and they're in a circus, and Terry Lewis is a clown.
Terms of Endearment, yeah, it was okay. It's all right. No, it wasn't really. Wait. I don't think I saw this one. So they're in the circus. Danny Kaye's the clown, or Dean Martin's the clown.
No, Dean Martin is a trapeze guy, I think, and Jerry Lewis is a. Jerry Lewis the clown, like a sad clown.
Is there any other kind? Is there any other kind? Is there a legitimately happy clown out there?
Yeah, man.
Let's hope not.
So, man, how many times do people walk up to you in life and tell you to do the truffle shuffle for us?
Dude, you know what? At Taft, man. That was
– fuck. I could just imagine.
High school torment?
They just
the
loved
prom.
It. Yeah, it was –
got a lot of chicks?
Jeff
Truffle shuffled me.
I'll do a truffle shuffle on your mom.
Well, who doesn't want a chunk of chunk, back in the,
just a little chunk.
In the late 80s at the Taft High in the Wahizzy Woodland Hills. No, dude, it was funny. I took a fair amount of torment at Taft. But what's so funny for me, Taft was transformative. You know what I mean? Cause at that point, I couldn't get work anymore. So I had to try to go to school and try to do stuff. So for me, I played football at Taft. Everybody hated me. Everybody was instead of Chunk, they would call me Chuck. They'd be like, hey, Chuck, what's up, Chuck? So my nickname was basically Chuck, which was kind of a weird mispronunciation of Chunk. And when I first tried out for the football team, A, like, I wanted to play a sport. But as a kid, like, instead of, like, playing baseball, I was going out on auditions for hot dog commercials and stuff. So I, to this day, like no hand-eye coordination at all. Somebody throws a ball at me, I just like, duck. I try to protect the face, you know? So I was like, okay, well, what's a sport where I don't have to touch a ball? I was like, football. Great. I could just be a lineman. And, like, and I actually, like, the summer before I went to Taft, I read a book that I still have. It's by Joe Namath, and it's Joe Namath, How to Play Football.
Tight.
And it was this book for kids. Because I didn't know, like, there was an offense and a defense. I didn't know because I just grew up in show business. I never really knew about that stuff. So, you know, so I was like, okay, football, and I could be a lineman. I could be a linebacker or something. I don't have to touch a ball. And I went and I, you know, go to Taft and, you know, and basically I didn't know any of the kids. And we do our little drills. And when everybody else would do the drill, they would just kind of like tap them. But anytime it was like my turn up, they would just level me. They would just like would tee up like it was like kickoff at the Super Bowl and
straight
just
smash on you
and just straight smash me. And like after like 3 weeks of this shit, I was like, guys, my one buddy Jesse Manchaca, I was like, how come everyone's beating my ass, dude? He's like, because you think you can get off the movie screen and come here and, you know, be a tea house.
It's real life, bro.
Exactly. And it's like, and once I accepted that, and like, then I just made a ton of friends and just really enjoyed it, and it became a whole different thing. So for me, like, it was weird. Like, that whole experience at Taft, like, it was so funny. But like, if there's one for me, like, a transformative experience that was like, hey, dude, like, show business is cool, but like, there are other things that are real, like people having real problems and stuff, man. I swear to God, it was playing football at Taft High and kind of those friends and like what those guys would go through. You know, a guy who was in, you know, a junior already had two kids, or this one guy Ralph was a pal of mine, and like, you know, he was from the inner city, would get bussed in, you know, and so that's a long time, right? That's like an hour, you know, bus ride out, would stay, play football, get bussed back, and then he would work the late night shift loading bags at LAX.
Damn.
Sleep for a couple hours and come back. And it was like, for me, like, hearing this shit, I was like, wow. I was like, you know what? It's upsetting that I didn't get that, you know, corn dog endorsement deal I was gunning for. But wow, this is real. Like, this is some real stuff. So for me, actually, it was funny. Like, I love Taft and I love, you know, that whole experience, because that in a weird way, that's what kind of kept me sane. So for me, the fact that I only worked until I was like 13 or 14 actually was helpful. Because I got, like, I think famous enough to be like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, hey, I get some free Baby Ruths. And, oh, this is kind of fun. But I wasn't, like, so famous that I couldn't, like, you know, get a different job. You know, like, actually do something else. So for me, it was kind of nice. It was, like, kind of a nice middle ground, I suppose, you know.
They were doing a lot back then. Huh? When you were going to high school, like, Taft, for example, there wasn't that many great players at first. So they started, like, drafting kids from the inner city.
Yeah.
And using a fake address, sure, so they could go to Taft.
Sure, yeah.
We had a comedian here, Ruben Paul.
Okay.
And he told us about that.
Really?
Because they were saying Granada Hills, for example.
Oh, Granada had a great team.
Yeah, because they were bus kids. They would have kids that live in South Central that were awesome in South Central, but they would use a fake address to live in the Valley, but they were not really living in the Valley.
Really?
The school did it.
Just for recruiting, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I know we didn't do that at Taft at the time because we really sucked. Otherwise, otherwise, how could I get a spot on the team? So Taft, their recruiting technology was not that advanced back then. But yeah, I've heard that too.
How did you approach your first client ever? Or did they approach you, or someone recommended you, or how did you get started?
You know what's funny?
Open micing as a lawyer, entertainment lawyer too?
Well, no. You know what's funny? It's funny, actually. You probably know my first client. And again, I started my law firm back in 2002 when I had hair and I was taller and prettier. It's a long time ago, Felipe. But it's funny, actually. It's when I was working at Universal Studios. We did a show. One of our shows was Motown Live at the time, like in the late 90s. And there would be like an R&B act, there would be a hip hop act, and then a comic. And like, you know, I would kind of do the deals representing the studio for the comics, just a very basic deal. Like, hey, you're going to appear on the show, whatever, whatever. And when we were doing that, I met a guy, Ian Edwards.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Ian?
Yes.
So Ian. Yeah, there you go. So Ian Edwards, super talented guy, you know, great comic, really bright, really thoughtful guy. And when I was still, you know, at Universal, he was like, hey, Jeff, you know, I got this deal. Would you help me out with this deal? And Ian was my first, Ian then kind of, you know, was, you know, kind of on the side, my first client. And then when I started my firm, he was my first client. So it was Ian Edwards, and he kind of introduced me to the comedy scene. And you know, he's been a, we're actually, I think we're going to have dinner tonight. So he's been a pal for a long time. I love that guy. You know?
Cool. When you met him, did he have the long dreadlocks?
Yeah, it was back in the dreads.
Back in the Def Jam days.
Back in the, yeah, dude, back with the dreads, man.
Back in the Def, Dwayne, who's like, no, Dwayne Kennedy, right? Another guy?
Yeah, sure.
So you know all the homies.
Sure, of course, for sure.
So you know him, you know another guest we had here. Hugh Moore.
Oh, Hugh, dude, Hugh's my best.
We had Hugh Moore here, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I love Hugh, dude. He's great.
He's so the one that introduced me to you.
Oh, my God, yeah, you're right. It was through Hugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that guy.
So I said, this is your secret, huh? Okay. Because Hugh told me. Because I know I've seen Hugh work at the Last Comic Standing.
Sure.
I saw him working on the when he was working with Sinbad.
Yeah.
Was you the funniest? I remember that. I know.
Shy Tony.
Oh, my God. Shy Tony, dude.
How funny is that shit,
dude.
Jeff?
Dude, okay. Like, your viewers. Your viewers,
tell them, bro. Tell them how it is.
You need to go and, like, right now, I guess, go on the Google. And it's Hugh Moore, H-U-G-H-M-O-O-R-E, and then Shy Tony. And you say what the bit is.
It's a ventriloquist, right? But it's called Shy Tony, and it's Hugh Moore with a puppet, and it's a dummy, and he's called Shy Tony. But the whole time, Shy Tony never says nothing. He puts the puppet on Hugh Moore's ear, and then he rattles like
whispers.
Yeah, like, what's up, Shy Tony? Yeah, Shy Tony say, what's up, y'all?
That's the TV show Vibe, and that was Sinbad as a host, and the guest next to him was Big Boy from
Six-Pack. Nice pool.
Yep. Yes, and they were competing with the Keenan Ivory Wayne show.
Yeah, at that time.
What would that be like? Like late 90s? Got to be like late 90s.
Late 90s. Because right? I used to write.
95.
I used to be 96. A ghostwriter for the Keenan Ivory Wayne show.
Really?
I asked Sean Wayans one night after a show. He said, you're funny. You know, I didn't waste no time, man. How can I get a job writing for your brother's show? And he goes, yeah, man. He gave me a number, and then like every day I would fax jokes in to the Keenan Ivory Wayne show.
Wow. Faxing jokes. That is old school, man.
I couldn't need you back then, man. I never got paid for one joke.
Is it harder to make a joke funny via fax? I wonder. Because like when the person's watching it, it's like, they kind of see the punchline first and then the front part of it.
Kind of, sort of.
So what's up, Rodrigo?
Chilling, dog. What's up with you?
Chilling with Chuck right here,
please,
bro.
Please, dog. Over here, Hollywood royalty. On both sides of the aisle. You know?
The truffle. Nice. You made that up or they told you to do it?
Well, I mean, it existed, like, in the script, but of course I made it my own, and, you know, and...
You owned it.
And history was made.
And was it your little personality, how you were in the movie all excited and moving around all the time? Is that what got you the role, too, or...?
Well, you know, it's funny. Like, doing the Truffle Shuffle is really scary as a kid because, like, when you're a fat kid, like, literally, what's the last thing you want?
Take your shirt off.
And you want, like, dude, like, you go, like, you know, like, you're a fat kid.
Senior
and, like,
baby boobs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, dude, like,
pull with my
the
shirt
worst
off.
Thing is, like, if
I
it's, like.
I can do a picture of boobs right now, bro. Well,
it's cool, dog. I don't know how I feel about that precisely, but I guess
you
that's
got those
cool.
Inner nipples.
I guess it's good. Hey, whoa.
Magnifying glass over here.
My nipples are good, dude. Like, I'm good. Like, I don't know.
My nipples are good, dude.
I don't know how this kind of.
Eyes closing.
They're winking at me, dog.
Those are like, wow. I don't know. Yeah.
Look at brother. Look at your stomach. I told you to my brother.
Ah, what a dick, man.
You're kind of giving me like a complex here about my nipples, dude. I'm gonna like go home and be like, wait, are they?
Are they pink?
Are they really pink?
No. I know a great nipple guy in town though. So if I need a procedure or something, I have a guy. You guys need any nipple work
I'm
done?
Straight.
I have an amazing guy in Beverly Hills. He's one of the best, top three nipple guy in the United States. It's pretty good. Pretty
your
solid.
Pants were cool on that movie too, man. Those slacks.
Was that your look though? The little Hawaiian shirt.
That's the shit. You were like a hipster before hipster.
Dude, you know what? I never thought about that because
you were just like pretty Rodney, like the man look.
Dude, you're kind of right.
The Hawaiian shirt,
and then the plaid pants.
Yeah, and the back in the Trading Places. No, the Trading Places? No.
What, Groundhog Day?
No, that movie was Rodney Dangerfield when he gets the money.
Easy Money.
Easy Money.
Oh, Easy Money. Yeah,
yeah, you're the whole man. The real man look. The Hawaiian shirt, the loose white t-shirt, the jeans.
Well, it's like joint falls out of the pocket. What's going on here?
Well, it was like I did love the fact that in 80s movies, like it wasn't sufficient to have a fat guy as the fat guy. They needed to wear Hawaiian shirts so everyone knew they were the
like
fat
Fluffy.
Guy.
Like Fluffy.
Like you
right.
It was required. It was required back then. It was like, this is the fat guy. I know you, in case you didn't know.
You were the inspiration for Gabriel Iglesias to wear Hawaiian shirts.
It's, you know, again, the weight of being a cultural icon is heavy, but I, if I can help the community, if I can help
science,
art, that's funny. I can help advance culture. Chubby kids wore Hawaiian shirts.
No, even the adults. Like, remember, like, anytime there's a fat kid or fat adult actor, like in the '80s, like, it was like, he's a fat guy.
Louise, fool.
Yeah, Don. Yeah,
John Cannon and them moved the vacation.
There you
resort.
Go, fool.
Got to do resort. It. Gotta do it. Gotta do it. But actually,
and Hawaiian Punch guy.
With the Hawaiian, no, that was just does he wear a shirt? Well,
sometimes he did. Yeah, sometimes he did wear a Hawaiian shirt.
Okay, now wait, because I feel this is important. I think this bears a little further discussion. Now,
okay.
Hawaiian Punch guy obviously should wear a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
Right?
He comes from Hawaii.
Exactly. Like, I mean, like, if he wore a plaid shirt, that would be odd, you know, but he should wear one.
Brawny
now,
over here.
Now, John Candy, on vacation in summer rental, that's acceptable to wear a Hawaiian shirt because you're maybe on – you're by the beach. Chunk was in Oregon. Chunk was in freezing.
was freezing
his chunky balls off in Oregon. Hawaiian shirt completely inappropriate. No one in Oregon.
Where did he get it? Oregon.
Yeah, exactly. Where did he get it? Did he go? Yeah. That. I mean, come on.
On the last pirate ship.
Mervin's. I don't know. Where would Chunk be shopping?
I've always thought
Gemco.
I always thought the Goonies, the whole treasure island to look for the treasure, remind me of that. You know it from the Little Rascals episode.
Oh, no, it was.
The magic lamp.
Yeah, well there was an episode called Mama's Little Pirates.
Yes.
Exactly. And it's funny. Chris Columbus. Yo, dude. Yeah, that's like with the pirate. Like,
yeah,
with the pirate.
It was in the gorilla show. The monkey showed up.
Yeah, which you know, it happened in the 30s. It's like kids are really tense.
They were hanging out with that chubby guy with the stripes. And then when I was in the pirate ship, yeah. We went over there and the kids do it.
Well, dude, no, it was funny because Mama's Little Pirates was the name of the short, and Chris Columbus, you know, who directed like Harry Potter and you know, Adventures in Babysitting and a bunch of other stuff, he wrote Goonies and he based it in part on Mama's Little Pirates. So you're totally right. They kind of nabbed it from
all
that.
All right.
Yeah, nice pull.
Hell yeah.
Nice pull, Felipe. Nice pull.
I remember my movies. So what's up, Rodrigo?
Chilling, dude.
You're happy?
Yeah, happy as fuck.
Do some truffle shuffle, bro.
This will, you first, Dave.
Whoa! Wow!
I did it, dog.
Felipe is bringing it.
Oh, yeah, bro. Huh? I'm doing it on TV.
Okay, I got an idea. I know it's like political, but it's just a thought. Okay, I don't want to get political. Don't get weird. But
it's all good.
I've been thinking about this Donald Trump going to Mexico thing. Have you guys heard about this? Today, yeah. He's going to visit the president, right? It doesn't make any sense. And I was like,
are they going to actually receive him, though?
I don't know.
He invited him.
It already happened? So I was like, because it's kind of blew everybody away. I'm like, why the hell, you know, would the president see him and stuff? And then I was like, oh, maybe it's a trick where when he's out of the U.S., they won't let him back in or something like that. Like the U.S. is like, no, you can't come in. And if we do that, then maybe it's like, okay, Donald Trump, you can come back in if you do the truffle shuffle. What do you guys think? What do you think?
He does have the truffle shuffle body.
I mean, like, wouldn't that would get higher ratings than the debates with Hillary? That would be amazing. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying it may happen. May happen. Seems fantastic.
We need truffle shuffle day.
Truffle, Brandon.
Yeah, they have pancake day, National Dog Day. Why not National Truffle Shuffle Day?
Truffle Shuffle Day.
Yeah, man. Everybody gets truffles and we have a truffle shuffle. So what's up, fool? We have Jeff Cohen right here.
Yes, sir.
The deal, the Ten Commandments. Get it? The Deal Makers, Ten Commandments. Get it on Amazon. Get it on our webpage. Buy it. It's a great book. It'll change your life.
Yes. I agree.
Well, thank you very much,
Jeff. Thanks for having me, guys. Real pleasure.
For being here. Let's take a photo or drill to add.
Oh, no. Just fucking thank you very much, man. Seriously, dude. Fucking awesome to see you here in the flesh and shit. Awesome
for stores. Sure.
Great work. And Sunset Room after Labor Day every Monday.
Sunset Room, right?
Yeah, man. Hacienda Heights.
Hell yeah. What's up, fool?
Whoa.
Spider-Man with not Morgan Freeman. Huh?
I was just
it was Samuel Jackson then.
What can't that guy do? He's
don't
amazing.
Get mad at me. Anything. Danny Seagrin stole my name.
I thought it was Morgan Freeman the whole time. Somebody lied to me, bro.
I was just like, yeah, dog, it's Morgan Freeman, eh?
Hallo, hier ist Jürgen Klopp. Echte Fußballfans fiebern ja die ganze Woche dem Samstag entgegen. Echte Autofans auch. Da ist nämlich Opel-Tag.
Nicht vergessen, am 29.09. ist Opel-Tag. Erleben Sie die Premiere des neuen Opel Combo und unserer SUV-Modelle. Am 29.09. bei allen teilnehmenden Opel-Partnern.